Join Dr. Ed Bulkley right now as we discuss today's subject, reasons for return to the Word, on today's edition of Return to the Word.
We're so glad to have you with us here today on Return to the Word. And as you know, on Fridays, we try to deal with letters and email that have come in to us and questions that people have posed to us over a period of time. So we hope that it will be of help to you as we discuss some of these issues. And we encourage you to write to us if you have a comment or question. It could be about Return to the Word, the program itself. It may be on an issue in your life that you want to have some biblical perspective on. It may be any number of things, but we invite you to write to us here at Return to the Word, 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. We'll give that to you again a little later on, but we hope that you will write to us. You can also give us some email, pastored@returntotheword.org or at AOL.com. Either one will get to us, and we will try to respond as best we can here on the air, and if possible, we'll try to write you back, but we can't always do that. Frankly, it's just overwhelming to us with the small staff that we have to try to keep up with all of the mail, but we'd love to hear from you, and if you have a question that you'd like us to deal with on the air, please do write to us. It does help us a great deal. Well, Alden, we have some people who have wondered, I'm sure from time to time, what was the reason for Return to the Word? Why why have you taken this approach? I mean, there are a lot of different radio broadcasts. Most of them will take a theme, or they will, perhaps a pastor will spend time preaching through a book or on topics and all. And frankly, there's a lot to be said for that. And I, in many ways, I envy that, because that's something that's on the heart of every pastor, wants to just open God's Word and to teach on it. However, we were asked to consider taking on this broadcast to replace a nationally known radio broadcast that was primarily promoting the psychological way of dealing with people's problems. And it had become known that we were taking a very different approach in counseling. We believe that God's Word is more than enough to deal with any issue of life. So we take on the problems of personal living from a different point of view, from the Word of God, and we have exposed many of the errors of psychological thinking, especially in what is called Christian counseling. Mm-hmm. And Alden, that has not made us popular with many people.
That's right. And Pastor, I might go back and digress just a moment and for our listeners and talk just about a little bit of the history of a Return to the Word. As you mentioned, we were asked to replace a nationally syndicated program. Part of that was because when you'd done your doctoral dissertation, if I remember correctly, you had really talked about why Christians can't trust psychology.
That's right.
You were given the opportunity to write for Harvest House, and since then you've written three books, Why Christians Can't Trust Psychology, Only God Can Heal the Wounded Heart, and How Big Is Your God? And after some folks had interviewed you and seen the book, Why Christians Can't Trust Psychology, that's when they said, you know, that really makes sense, the need for us to return to the Scriptures in our counseling. And it's hard to believe we've been doing this for over 6 years now. That's hundreds and hundreds of broadcasts, and we have so much enjoyed getting to know via the radio airwaves many of our listening friends and the letters. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
It has been. And one of the things that we have seen as we have moved on down through the years is that there is a need to encourage pastors and churches to take seriously the command of God to shepherd the flock and not to farm our people out to the local psychological clinic, even if it's a Christian clinic. There are many pastors who are, in our opinion, not fulfilling their role as a shepherd of their people. And I don't mean that to be just pointing our finger at others. I don't think there's a pastor alive who could not say that he has failed someone at some time in shepherding the way he would like to do. Stay with us. We're going to come back and talk some more about reasons for Return to the Word. We have some letters that really are an encouragement to us, and we do appreciate them so very much.
Welcome back to Return to the Word with Pastor Ed Bulkley. Today we're talking about reasons for Return to the Word. And Pastor, with it being Friday, we always like to mention to folks that this is the day for people to really start thinking seriously about being in God's house.
That's
on
right.
Sunday morning. We recognize some churches actually meet on Saturday night. They might meet on Sunday night. But we really believe it's important for God's people to come together to fellowship, to worship, and to study His Word. And we have some wonderful opportunities here at Life.
We encourage you to come and to visit with us. If you're in the Denver area, you don't have a Bible-believing church that you're part of, we'd love to have you come and visit with us. May I say, in behalf of pastors all over the Denver region and across the country, that there are many pastors who believe in God's Word totally. I mean, they not only believe in the inspiration of God's Word, they do believe in the sufficiency of God's Word. And you're part of that church, perhaps. Let me explain to you that there are many temptations for you to leave and to go to another church. And there are good reasons. We have several programs on why you perhaps ought to find a different church. And you certainly can get a copy of that. When Should I Leave My Church, I think, is the title of one, mm-hmm. and there are some others to consider. But can I caution you, before you leave your church, a couple of things. One is, I always appreciate when someone comes in and sits down and talks with me about why they're going to go to another church. Now, I may not agree with their reasoning behind it, but I do always respect mm-hmm. a person who has the character to come in, not just disappear quietly and going somewhere else, and in many cases slandering a church, but instead coming in, sitting down, saying, you know, for myself at this time, for these reasons, I need something else. Now, I respect that. Mm-hmm.
I do too, and Pastor, I've always appreciated when people come in and they sit down and talk to you when they're beginning to think about that. And then
they rarely do that.
I know it. But it is wonderful when people say, you know, I'm beginning to think this way. I really, because you're part of the spiritual leadership team here at this church, I would love to get your input on, is there some of my thinking that I need to reconsider? Mm-hmm. What a wonderful, humble attitude that is there. And I think, because as you and I have seen, there's some people who leave then come back. And I think part of the reason, I'm glad when they come back, mm-hmm. but sometimes I think it was unnecessary for them to leave. Part of it was there's in our culture, there's a lot of window shopping going yes. around.
There is. I guess one of the things that frustrates me as a pastor is when someone leaves, they've already made up their mind, even if they're going to come in and talk with you, they have made up their mind, I'm leaving. No matter what you say, you can sit and you can try to explain, you can reason with them, you can try to share with them the needs of the church, you can share with them perhaps some reasons that they're not. One of the classics that you'll hear is, I'm not being fed. And I just look at that and I question that. Perhaps you're not eating what's put before you. I remember as a child there were times my mother would put stuff on the table. I didn't want it. I could have easily gone out and said, I'm not being fed at my home. And officers from social services could have come and said, why aren't you feeding your child? And my mother would have said, it's not that I'm not feeding my child. He's not eating.
Mm-hmm.
And there are cases where people will sit down in a church and they leave saying, I'm not being fed. And you've got to ask yourself, why are you not being fed when God's Word is being opened? I think your pastor could preach from the genealogies of the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit bless your heart if your heart is really right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that with all sincerity.
And then don't you find sometimes when people say they're not being fed, you find out they're not coming to the table very often either. They're only coming maybe for a worship service, really not coming for Bible studies,
right.
small group Bible studies. They're not involved in a ministry. And so many times it's the people on the fringes. Now, that doesn't mean that, as you mentioned, there's people who leave for the right reasons, but it's always sad when people really don't give the full diet, the whole, mm-hmm. full spiritual meal, a really chance.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You ought to be involved in a Sunday school class where they're, perhaps if you don't like expository preaching, verse by verse, then go to a Sunday school class afterwards where they're going to deal with things topically. I mean, there are just so many different ways. Or let's say your pastor preaches topically. Then go to a Sunday school class where they go verse by verse. I mean, you don't have to say, well, I'm not being fed, so I'm going to take off. Well, that's another issue. But
you still got to tell them the service time.
Well, I'm going to do just that. We're
okay.
going to invite you to come visit with us, those of you in the Denver region. Again, if you're not part of a Bible-believing church, we'd love to have you come visit with us Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock or 9:15 or 10:45. We're at 115th and Sheridan Boulevard in Westminster. We'd love to have you come and visit with us. And we do have Bible classes during the last 2 hours. And Alden, it looks like before too long, we're going to have to offer them during the first hour because we're running out of space in the classrooms. Here's a letter that came in. It says, I'm writing to you to let you know your ministry has been a blessing to me. I'm 19 years old, and I'm attending Wheaton College in Illinois. Several years ago, my mom began listening to your radio broadcast, Return to the Word. I began listening to it as well and was encouraged by your stance on the Bible's complete authority and inerrancy. I listen to your program whenever I have the chance, and I was able to listen to Return to the Word almost every day over this last summer. I'm also able to listen to Return to the Word on WVCY through my computer at college when I have time and I'm not busy with my classes. They can get our programming and VCY's program on the Internet. And if you want to find out how to do that, if you are into the Internet computer, go to our website, returntotheword.org. It'll take you right to the links and give you the program to download so that you can listen on the Internet. It says, I will try to keep this short because I know that you get many letters and are busy, but I also wanted to share some of my testimony with you. After I was born, I was diagnosed with PDD. I was put on medication from when I was 3 years old until I was about 16 years old. I'm not familiar with PDD, if it means ADD. I'm just not certain if that's what the person's talking about. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go back to my dictionary and look this up, which could well be the case. Anyway, I was put on medication for when I was 3 years old until I was about 16. I was a very rebellious child and was disobedient into my junior high years. God is faithful, though, and my parents prayed for me for years. The Lord has completely changed my life, and I've not had any problems or medication for 3 years. My life changed so dramatically that it could only be God working my life, and I'm grateful for everything He's done for me. I fully agree with you that God's Word should be looked to for answers rather than psychology. It was only as God changed my heart that my life was able to be changed. I plan to study apologetics and enter into the creation science ministry. Well, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm majoring in physics at Wheaton. I believe that it's important for Christians to realize that evolution is incompatible with science, and most importantly, the Bible, which I'm astounded that this person is going to Wheaton and is taking this position. I'm so thankful. Believers need to stop compromising with evolution and need to return to God's Word and believe what God says as opposed to what man says through his fallible theories. It's been difficult in some ways because Wheaton College by no means adheres to a literal creation. That's what I had thought. But I'm thankful that the Lord is my shepherd and that I have the proper foundation and guidance in His Word. Unfortunately, my physics professor has advocated theistic evolution in class several times. Wheaton College also offers a Ph.D. in psychology, and there is the same danger as there is with evolution when Christians integrate fallible, unbiblical ideas into the infallible Word of God. I've got to tell you, this young man has his mind in the right place, and he's got a grasp on the truth here. He says, however, I'm grateful that the Lord has provided the opportunity for me to attend Wheaton College and receive a good college education. He's provided me with guidance and with many opportunities to be salt and light and a witness for Him at Wheaton, and for this I'm thankful. I want to encourage you to continue to uphold the authority of Scripture and to warn Christians of the danger of psychology. God has worked through you and your ministry to bless many others and me, sincerely in Him. And he signs it. I want to thank you so much for this letter, and it is a great encouragement to us. Whenever we hear from someone like this who has been challenged by Return the Word and encouraged, and here's the young man that has blessed our hearts today.
Well, Pastor, it does. I think one of the things that I look back over these 6 years, you thank the Lord for the fact that there's people who, frankly, when they started listening, they not only didn't agree with us, they're probably angry with us. And I think one of the most encouraging things is to hear many people say, you know, but I listened a little longer, and I really went back to Scripture to look at the concepts that were espoused to see, is that really scriptural? And that's the whole idea of being a Berean Christian, according to Acts 17:11, to look carefully into everything we say. Now, here's a letter, Pastor, just before we go to break. It says, Dear Pastor, Bulkley and crew, and by the way, we want to say many, many thanks to the wonderful crew we have, Ray Sheehan, our engineer, and of course we have Cindy Ronla, who directs the lay counseling ministry for the women, and just so many others that help us here. But this one says, Dear Pastor Buckley and crew, thank you for your program, books, and seminars. It has been refreshing to hear from someone who does not buy into the gospel of psychology. I attended your seminar in Milwaukee several years ago. I have been hoping that you would have another one soon. Mm-hmm. I have your first two books, but I haven't had time to read them yet. I hope to get to them this new year. Take care, and may God richly bless you and yours and the ministry in the new year in His care and service. And thank you so much for that wonderful letter.
We're going to be up in Wisconsin later on this year for a family camp. Up at their brand new camp, VCY has a wonderful new camp in Wisconsin, and we're looking forward to being with the families. Marla and I will be there to share some principles for family living, and we'd love to have you join with us for that time as well. Stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment, talk some more about reasons for return to the Word, and there are other questions and letters that have come in that we want to share with you. We hope you'll stay with us and that you'll write us when you get an opportunity. ReturnToTheWord.org is our website. We hope you'll look it up and give us a call as well. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, Return to the Word with Dr. Ed Bolka. Today we're talking about reasons for return to the Word.
Alden, there are many people who have actually wondered, you know, what is going on? Why do you spend so much time on this issue of psychology? Because when it is everywhere, we have to deal with it on a continual basis. I mean, we would love to say that we shared about psychology a few years ago and everyone saw the light, and now psychology has stopped the whole process of integration with God's Word. And all. Unfortunately, that's not the case. If anything, it's stronger today. There are more psychological clinics out there. There are more people on drugs than ever before. I don't know if you're keeping up with these kinds of things, folks, but the news is continually coming out about the dangers of the psychological drugs and how incredibly powerful mm-hmm. they are, the mind-altering drugs. And yet because they're legally dispensed, people think they must be safe. And they're not safe. They have many side effects, and we recommend to you that you get a hold of copies of books that we can offer to you here. We have an entire catalog of materials available for you at returntotheword.org, which you can actually order online. You can pay for online, and we'll send those out to you. Books and tapes and videos on counseling and videos on false memories, and there's just a host mm-hmm. of resources for you. If you're looking for a place where you can find materials on biblical counseling, we encourage you to come to returntotheword.org and look through our catalog there, order out materials. And when you do, by the way, every order helps our ministry. It yes. helps us to continue sharing this message that God's Word is more than enough and to show you how to apply God's Word on a continual basis. So we hope you'll do just that.
Pastor, you know, our subject today is reasons for return to the Word, and as you were speaking, I thought of maybe kind of clarifying one aspect of those reasons. If you think about it, it's kind of sad in one sense that we can't just get on every day, and which we, by the way, we try to as much as possible, just take an issue and deal with it biblically, and people probably sometimes say, aren't you guys just kind of making too much of the psychology thing? But unfortunately, because psychology has been placed on a layer almost above the scripture, we have to deal with removing that layer. So part of our program is devoted to helping people see through the problems and the errors that are connected with psychology so we can get back to the scriptures. And Lord willing, maybe one day, wouldn't it be great if someday when you're old, now I really want to be kind today, someday when you're old,
sure, another,
and you'll be able to say, you know, I remember years ago.
A couple decades, yeah.
That's right. Maybe years ago I remember when people really sucked into the whole psychological issue, and we're glad to say that's not the issue today. I hope to God that day comes.
I hope it will, but I must tell you that I believe that there is such a desire in the human heart to excuse mm-hmm. our sin, and psychology is so appealing to people as it provides a way to excuse sinful thinking and sinful behavior that I think it'll only grow in popularity.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, here's another letter from a prisoner, and he writes, Dear Pastor Ed and Alden, I've been listening to your program now for almost 1 year. Since the 10th of November, 1999, I've been moved to a minimum security. Today, I finally was able to tune in to WVCY again after many attempts in trying to find where it would come in, and now I get two Christian stations, mm-hmm. so we're glad to hear that, where I listen to your program at noon, on WVCY, the Pleasure program. The environment here is so much different than medium. There's no fence, and I'm working. The reason I wrote was to get your newsletter and to ask a few questions. I'm 27 years old, and I'm saved. You're reading letters off today, and someone who revealed the truth is now in protective custody. I remember us reading that letter a couple of weeks ago. I've been to maximum medium for selling drugs, but I forget how the Lord has truly blessed me now, and I need reminding that there are men and women and children who are often in much worse places than I am, and I'll remember to keep them in prayer. You know, as I read this letter earlier today, Pastor, it was just remarkable to me how this person has found, in spite of the fact they've made some mistakes, they've come to a peace and contentment and love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it just was such an encouragement to me. I've seen you on Channel 30, WCY-TV, and now I've been planning on putting, I can't read that part there, but then it says, pray for me that the Lord would lead me in the particular direction he's going. Also, I've been up against a lot here. The man who leads a Bible study on Sundays says that he has revelations that we are gods.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, well, I think you and I know where that probably comes from, because that's really what Mormonism teaches, that really we're just little gods.
Well, Mormonism teaches that, but so does Kenneth Copeland. So does Kenneth Hagin. So do many of the hyper-charismatics, where they will say we're little gods. Trinity Broadcasting out of California with Paul Crouch and all, they have made a point of saying we're little gods. So who knows where he's getting this?
He uses John 10:35 to back it up, but I've told him that what he is saying is idolatry, and he also is taking the scripture out of context. Any words or suggestions or books to minister to help him, Pastor Ed? Should I stop going to the Bible study? Those are two excellent questions.
Oh, my. Well, first of all, I would not go to a Bible study where they're teaching heresy like this, because it can damage your faith so much. Now, here he's talking about, you just mentioned John chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods?" If he, God, called them gods, to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent him into the world? Now, you have to understand, Jesus is not, nor was the Old Testament, saying you are gods. You see, that's the very problem that some people have. Now, they're quoting here in John, it's quoting Psalm 82 at verse 6. Let's just quickly go over there. Psalm 82, verse 6, if I can just get my fingers to work correctly.
Well, here I believe, pastors look for that he's referring to the divinely appointed judges, putting them in a figurative expression, and to take that over to make them real gods is really foolishness.
Well, I think what if you go to Psalm 82, you will find that God is even speaking tongue-in-cheek in this, in this passage. God says, I said, you're gods. You are all sons of the Most High, but you will die like mere men.
Right.
You will fall like every other ruler. Is he suggesting here that there are other gods? Look at verse 1 of Psalm 82. God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. So you could easily say, if you just take that verse out of context, you could easily say there's a multitude of gods. And so that we should be polytheistic as other nations. Was Israel polytheistic? Did they believe in many gods? Here's Psalm 82. This is an Old Testament Israeli scripture. Did they believe in many gods? Of course not. They understood that God was speaking tongue-in-cheek here. Well, Jesus is quoting that passage that is speaking tongue-in-cheek. And here are unbelieving Jews who have come, the Pharisees, the scribes, who are always trying to get Jesus in trouble. And so he was using the Jewish scripture to confuse them and confound them. And he's saying to them, now wait a minute, isn't it written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? He said, in contrast to these human beings that considered themselves gods, and God was even relating to them in Psalm 82, saying, you're not gods. You're going to die like mortal men, because you are. If God used that phrase, then why are you trying to strike me down as Jesus, who is God? That was his point.
Exactly.
And so here is a man who is taking a passage out of context. Folks, that's the problem. If, as you're reading through the scripture, if you don't read the context, and in the Old Testament, first of all, read the context that surrounds the verse. That's the first context. Read the book that surrounds the chapter. That's the second context. Read the testament around the book. Is this New or Old Testament? And lastly, read the Bible around the testament.
And ask the question, do you find throughout Scripture this idea that there's many gods? No, in fact, you'll find over and over again there is but one God.
Deuteronomy chapter 6. Mm-hmm. Behold, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. There's one God. There is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one Godhead, three persons in the Trinity. But that's not three gods. One God, three persons. Now, there's a lot of confusion over this, but here is one who has distorted God's Word. I would say get away from that very, very quickly. Start your own Bible study, opening God's Word, just very simply teaching the gospel. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome back once again to Return to the Word with Pastor Ed Bulka. Today we're talking about reasons for return to the Word. And Pastor, in this last letter we wrote, from this prisoner, talks about the fact of there's really being heresy being promoted in the Bible study. My heart goes out to a situation like that, especially if there's not other good Bible-believing folks who are coming into the prison to lead Bible studies. And here you have error being taught of all the time in a person's life where they need good, solid Bible teaching. It should be here. I think it really behooves us to really pray for prisoners, as Scripture tells us about, because of all the time that they need, good Bible teaching would be this place. And he did ask the question, should I stop going to the study? And I think you're right, Pastor. I think he needs to. I also like what he says. He says, the Spirit has really blessed me with knowing the truth, and I see many Christians who are being led into the bad type of Christian music. And just because something says Christian on it doesn't mean that it's truly Christian or biblical teaching. Right. He also talks about, he says, I have some real concerns about listening to people like Benny Hinn. Mm-hmm. And again, our desire on Return to the Word is never to blast someone's character. But as you mentioned, we both have heard, you and I have heard many times, Benny Hinn and some others on some of these television programs say things that just plain are not the truth.
They're heresy. I'm going to take a step further. They're absolute heresy. Many of the things being taught. Now, one suggestion for this young man who's writing, if you are strong in God's Word and you know the truth and you're not going to be confused, then it might be worth going so that you can present a different point of view. And you can ask questions, and you can go to Psalm 82 and say, don't you see that God is speaking tongue-in-cheek here? You can connect that with Deuteronomy chapter 6. And you can show him that God says there is only one God. And Jesus himself says there's only one God. So I would be very careful. If you're strong enough to be able to deal with it, then maybe you want to go to protect some of the others. That would be the only reason I would encourage him to go.
He also mentions that he's really happy with Dave Hunt's work, and he's been blessed to hear him on our program many times. And I really can't think of any exception that I've come across with Dave Hunt's work. They're so thoroughly biblical, and I'm really glad to hear that somehow Dave Hunt's books have made his way into this prison. So we're very happy for that. Now, he asked one more question. He said he's been told that a person must speak in tongues to be saved.
Oh,
and this is a theological issue that comes up quite often, and could we answer that for him?
Well, and which leads me to say that probably the teacher coming in, if it's the same teacher, is from the hyper-charismatic group, which very honestly has moved into heresy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through chapter 14, you will find answers regarding tongues and all of the gifts. But so often people will go to chapter 14 having not read the context of chapter 12. And in chapter 14, you will find verse 18 referred to. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Boy, if you just grab that verse, it would certainly imply you need to speak in tongues. However, if you read the entire chapter, Paul is very clearly speaking against the misuse of tongues. That's what he's talking about. He's not endorsing the misuse of tongues. And let me tell you, one of the misuses of the gift of tongues, or the doctrine of the gift of tongues, is to insist that somebody has to speak in tongues in order to prove they're saved. That is an absolute lie. It is a confusion, and it is not scriptural to suggest that somebody must speak in tongues to indicate that they're even filled with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just bring you to some verses on this. And it says here that it's the Holy Spirit, by the way, in verse 7. This is 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there's given the Spirit of a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these work are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines.
Mm-hmm.
And look toward the bottom of this. Look at verse 29. He's mentioned all these gifts again in verse 28. In verse 29, he says, are all apostles? The Greek construction requires a negative answer. It requires it. Are all apostles? The answer is no.
You know, a pastor, without a person knowing any Greek, never having taken even a one-hour course, spending 1 hour in the Greek languages, that the rhetorical question, as you mentioned, just as it's constructed there, it just demands a no.
Even in English.
That's right. A person with common sense would say this demands a no.
Absolutely. And that's what he's saying. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? Yes.
No.
Well, of course not. It says no. It's so amazing to me that people will go through this and not read it and see it's so plain. God says, no, not everybody speaks in tongues. Do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. What's he talking about? He says, I'll show you the more excellent way. In verse 13, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, even if that were possible, but I don't have love, he says, that's ridiculous. It's worthless. Verse 13, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And then in chapter 14, he talks about the misuse of tongues and how there are people who are so carnal and how they're confusing people, and then they speak in tongues in a group. And if somebody comes into a meeting in verse 23 of chapter 14 and everyone speaks in tongues and some who don't understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say you are out of your mind? Of course. God says that He is not a God of confusion, but a God of order. And so he says there is to be order in the church. That's what he says in verse 33. So if somebody's telling you you've got to speak in tongues in order to indicate that you're saved or that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, run from them. They are teaching heresy.
Well, and then a person who would take that view really has to ask, why after 1 Corinthians 14 do you really see the virtual absence of this whole issue of the phenomenon of the gift of tongues? And by the way, and I recognize there's lots of good Bible scholars who differ on this. I happen to take up, just on a personal point of view, that 1 Corinthians 14, tongues there, is really referring to the ability to speak in known language that
too.
A person had never learned. And by the way, I think the key passage that would back that up would be in 1 Corinthians 14, actually in 21, where it says, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me. If you trace that back to Isaiah 28, 11, and 12, the prophet is saying, you know what, listen, you wouldn't listen in your own native tongue. You refused to listen to prophets. Now I'm going to send the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and you'll be forced to have to listen to them.
Amen. We're going to come back in just a moment. We have some more letters. We hope you'll stay with us here as we talk today about reasons for return to the Word. We hope that you'll see what those reasons are, that you'll pray for us and support us, and we thank you. We'll be back in just a moment.
You can order a copy of today's program on cassette, tape, or CD by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. And you can also write us here at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020.
We're talking about the issues that have been presented to us today, and even on this issue of the charismatic excess that some have gone into. By the way, I want you to understand, I believe in all the gifts. I truly do. I even believe in the gifts of tongues as they're used biblically. I believe that they are known languages. I don't find anywhere in Scripture that would say that they are not. The only possible exception to that is 1 Corinthians 14, where he's talking about praying in a tongue. And there's some who say, well, see, that's a prayer language. I won't argue with you about that. I don't agree that it's an angelic tongue. I don't think so at all. But I won't argue with you about that. But that's the only place. And in that case, it's just between you and the Lord. It's not a public use of it at all. The public use of tongues in every occasion in the Scripture, without fail, every time that it's shown in the book of Acts, it is in a public setting, and it is to demonstrate the inclusion of a new group into the church. It was never just done on a common basis. In Acts chapter 2, it was to show the beginning of the church. Then you move on right in Acts 8 and Acts 10, Acts 19, and you go, you find that God is including new people. He includes the Samaritans into the church, which the Jews had a hard time believing God would do. So God demonstrated to the early church, yes, they are also in the church. And then you have the believing, God-fearing Gentiles that God includes in the church. The Gentiles, or the Jews, couldn't believe that until they saw that they had also received this gift. It proved to them, they said, okay, I guess we can accept that. They're God-fearing Gentiles. What about non-God-fearing Gentiles who come to Christ? That was the last group that God included. And once again, he demonstrated it that way. But that seems to be, in each case, the beginning elements of these churches, and that God was drawing them in and convincing the very hard-hearted early church that, yes, God indeed has sent his gospel out to unbelievers, Gentiles, who also can be saved. And that's my understanding of tongues.
I think that's correct, Pastor.
Let me just mention, Alden, one good book that people ought to look at in behalf of this. It's called Charisma versus Charismania. I don't even know if it's still in print, but I do know you can download it for free from Calvary Chapel. Now, whether you agree with all of Calvary Chapel's doctrine or not, that's not the issue. I will tell you that this particular book, it's written by Chuck Smith, who has grown up in a charismatic background. He has written a book on tongues and the misuse of tongues, and I found it to be a very, very helpful volume. So I encourage you to look at that. You can download it, and I'd be glad to hear what you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, another our title today, of course, is Reasons for Return to the Word. And what I wanted to do with the remaining time is for us to talk about just some recent questions we've had that have come into our own counseling center here at Life Fellowship. By the way, these are questions, these are composite. I've been real careful here to change a few things around, but you and I have both had these questions many times. And I think one of the values of the radio program is we are able to take some real counseling situations that you and I and our counseling staff have been involved with and share them with the listening audience. And out of that, people can learn and we can all learn together.
Yes.
Here's one. This is kind of composite. Should you allow a grown child, age 21, to live in your home if he is not a believer? Now note, the son is willing to go to church with the parents and adhere to their standards.
Well, do you want to take these one at a time?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Okay, well, my first one would be I would want to know the circumstances. If there is a reason for a grown child to still be living at home, and even if he's not a believer, and he's willing to go to church with you, yes. I mean, let's say that he has just finished college, and he doesn't have a place to live, and he's not out on his own. I do not believe there's any biblical mandate to throw a child out because he reaches his majority. He reaches his age of maturity, which is not age 18, in my opinion, but legally it may be. But some kids don't reach maturity until they're 25 or 30.
But what about the father? He's in that 50 to 55 category. He said, well, hey, when I was 16, I was my dad said, you're gone. I had to get out. I was given $200-$300. I was on my own.
I think they're wrong. His dad was wrong. Mm-hmm. That's a terrible way to treat a child. Now, if your child is a lazy bum, to put that in a theological term, if he is, and you see that he's just refusing to work and he's not willing to go out, I would not allow a child at that age to come and to just eat my food and to enjoy the pleasures of a house without paying his rent. At that point, I would begin teaching a child, you need to now start paying rent because I want you to learn responsibility. And it costs to live in this world. So, son, you're going to have to get a job, And if the child refuses, that's when, yeah, I'd say, I'm sorry, you can't live here. You've got to live by my rules. And if he's living, no matter how old he is, if he's living in your house, he must live by your rules. If the child is 30 and he's had some kind of tragedy and he's had to come back and live with you, he's got to live by your rules or he doesn't live there.
Okay, I've had this situation come up more than one time. The child, let's say, is about this age, and they say, well, you know what, I'll live by your rules, but as you know, I drink, but I won't drink here in the house. But I feel like anything I do outside the house is acceptable. I'll live by your standards here. I've had this one come up.
Mm-hmm. That's a tougher one, Alden. I think that is really a judgment call. If it were my son, I probably would not allow him to stay under those conditions. I'd probably say, you know, this is more than just living at home. We're talking about a lifestyle. We're talking about testimony. And so I'm not going to allow you to stay here and me to support you so that you can go out and drink and sin. Others would say, well, I think we need to have that influence in his life. Maybe we'll never have an opportunity to influence his life again. I understand their perspective on that, and I guess I wouldn't be real harsh with them.
So it would really depend on the circumstances. If this person had a drink two or three times a year just on a rare social occasion, that might be one thing. But I've actually had situations, Pastor, where as the parents really thought it through, they said, no, wait a minute. This kid, he's really a drunk, and he says he's not going to drink here at the house, but what am I going to do if he kills or maims someone on his way home because he was drunk and never did drink at the house per se. Mm-hmm. See, the other thing that is kind of parallel to that is the young man says, or I've had it happen with young ladies as well, where the parents say, hey, this my daughter, she has there's all kinds of immoral behavior going outside the home, but she's, well, hey, I just live by the standards in the house. I think if it's demonstrated there's a lifestyle, a behavior going on, then I agree with you, the parents really shouldn't treat that person just as a renter.
No.
Because that's what they're doing. They're just benefiting from that situation and allowing them to continue in sin.
I think in that case, discipline comes in, and it may be that the only leverage you have at that point is to say you can no longer live in my home. Obviously, a child who is now 20 and 25, you're not going to be spanking. You know, you're going to have to treat them differently. You have different ways of discipline. One way, in my opinion, would be to say, I will not support you. That's how I'd approach it, and you look at it, what does God's Word have to say? Well, it talks about us bringing a child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But it also talks about being very firm with them, and you have Old Testament principles, which, by the way, just because we are under the New Testament grace of God, it doesn't mean that the principles and advice that you find in the Old Testament still does not apply. Because short of the liturgical, short of ceremonial law, that was what Jesus superseded. He never changed the moral law. Folks, you need to understand something. A lot of people confuse us. They think that when Jesus came, he did away with all of the law of the Old Testament. Not so. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. He didn't do away with the moral law. The Ten Commandments did not cease to exist, or the authority of the Ten Commandments did not cease to exist upon the believers. With one slight difference, and that is, even the principle, however, is still maintained, and that is worshiping on the Sabbath as opposed to the Lord's Day, Sunday. And that we see in the early church very clearly. They did in observance of the resurrection of the Lord, but there still was to be a day of worship. We find that command given clearly in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. So, and every one of the other commandments is reinforced in both Old and New Testament. That's the moral law. God did not do away with the moral law. And so if you go back and you will study in the Old Testament, you'll find that they said about these children, if they refuse to do this or that, you've got to deal with them very seriously. And in the New Testament, in 2 Thessalonians, 2nd or 1st, I think it's 2nd Thessalonians, if a man will not work, neither let him eat. And the point is clearly this, you don't support an indigent. If he's in your family or if he's in the church, you say, no, you must work. You must be productive. You must support yourself. That is a command that is replete throughout the Scriptures.
Now, Pastor, the second question I have that really ties into this verse is, when does it cross the line? And let me give you an example of a situation I've had happen more than once in my counseling.
Mm-hmm.
What if the same son, who's not a believer, he is attending church with his parents for a while, and then he says, you know what, I'm not getting anything out of it. That's not the direction I want to go with my life. I'm taking care of my room at the house. I try to respect my parents' values and so forth, but I really don't want to go to church with them anymore. And it's working against me in terms of that son says I just feel like it forces me to do something I don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think at that point a parent should say, well, then, you know, really you're probably choosing not to live in this home because it's a Christian home? Do you think that's too strong of a stand?
No, I don't. I think it comes down to this: it's your home. And you have set up the rules. If you say that the child is to take out the garbage every Monday, and he says, you know what, that's a child job, I refuse to do that, even if it's not a big issue, that's not a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
But you've said this is the rule, and he says, I won't do it, and you say, fine. Then you will need to find some other place. So if a parent sets up the rule, you must attend church with me during this time when you're staying with us, and they refuse to do it, in my opinion, you say lovingly and kindly, my precious child, I'm sorry you've made that decision, that choice, but evidently you've chosen not to live in our home any longer. Heavy stuff, and I know that's hard stuff, and I know many of you will think I'm way off base on that. I hope you're right and tell me so, or call me, and you can tell me that on the air. We hope you'll be with us each and every day right here in Return to the Word.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you to each one who's taken the time to write us or call us this week, and you can order a copy of today's program on cassette, tape, or CD by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. And you can also write us here at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. God bless you. We hope you'll join us again on Monday at the same time here on Return to the Word. Return to the Word is a ministry of Life Fellowship, a family Bible church, and counseling center.
We hope this tape has been helpful for you. You can request a copy of our tape catalog by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. We have tapes, books, and videos in a variety of subjects. If you would like a copy of our free newsletter, we'd be happy to send one along for you. Call us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD, 1-888-463-7967. And thank you for listening.